This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast for this Saturday, April 28th of 2007. I'm your host, the Red Hot Mama, Amanda. With me, as always, is the crack technical staff, Johnny. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
I know we said this last week, but I remember when we used to record on Mondays.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's Saturday, our second consecutive Saturday.
Is it?
Yeah, last week was at the game.
You know,
at the seventh inning.
Personally, I had every intention of recording last Saturday. And I think that actually like three or four times I said, well, let's record a podcast, and it just keeps not happening.
Usually it's you holding us back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This week it was me.
That's right. It is usually me holding us back because I get into these moods where I'm really crabby.
I think that would be okay, but we tried it once and...
Well, I just end up taking it out on you. And then,
yeah.
You know, if I took it out on the team, that would be fine, but I take it out on you. And
I think it's getting easier to take it out on the team, though.
Man, no joke.
So
no,
where do we start? Where do we start?
I think that we have to start with what inspired me to create a brand new category in Red Hot Mama. You know, Red Hot Mama is over 2 years old now.
Wow.
And I introduced a brand new category today, which is kind of shocking that I haven't had this category to this point, I think. It's the category of dripping sarcasm.
Well, I think every...
That's what it is, it used to be that every entry was dripping sarcasm.
Right.
And
yeah,
then
you've
the team
away from that.
I've gotten away from that. I've gotten into a lot more just kind of straight on reporting.
Yeah.
Kind of smart aleckiness, but not really sarcasm, and a lot of game threads.
Yeah.
Kind of turning into the Red Reporter the game threads. Than just quoting newspapers though.
We just don't have that much time, it feels like.
Well, you know
but
what?
Soon.
We're moving. We're moving in 3 weeks, baby, and then we will have time coming out our ears.
Right.
And we've got grandiose ideas of putting together a little recording studio.
See, that's not going to happen for a while because once we move, we'll still be owning both houses because the other one isn't selling. But we'll have more time because we won't have any money to go out of our house.
That's true. We won't have any money to go out of the house, so we'll be able to just kick around there and...
play on the computer.
Yeah.
Talk into the mic, type on the keyboard.
Exactly.
You know, do other things that are free online.
Ooh, you're bad. But in any event, so I created a new dripping sarcasm category just to talk about what a great move I think it was to trade Chris Denorfia for nothing in particular.
You don't know that.
Oh, I know that. You know how I know that? Because they're sending two of them. If it was, like, one player to be named later and we had to send cash, then I might get excited about that. That's the thing. It's like, I don't really care that they've traded Denorfia. In fact, I've been saying for a long time that Denorfia might be better off someplace else.
Oh, he definitely is. For some reason, Naren hates him. Almost, actually, more than I think he hates Edwin Encarnacion.
Well, clearly, because Edwin Encarnacion gets to play.
Right.
But even if you didn't get this feeling that Naren just has a problem with him, there's also the fact that there really was people in his way. I mean, you're talking about a lot of outfielders out there. You know, Hamilton
True.
Comes on the scene, and you've got Friel out there, and you know, I don't know what the deal is with Griffey. I hope that he survives this illness.
Yeah, I have a bad feeling about it. Like,
yeah, it just seems so strange.
Like, his life is going to be threatened, which is much more important than his
absolutely.
Stupid baseball career.
Much more important than that.
Hopefully he's getting it checked out and everything.
But assuming that they're right and that he can't just continue playing, I mean, he's standing in the way of Denorfia. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, the Reds can't turn around without tripping over power outfielders.
At least good hitting ones. Denorfia didn't have much power.
That's true. I'm sorry. Decent hitting outfielders.
Above average.
And, you know, Denorfia had some pretty good defense, too.
Yeah.
He was
I liked him.
Oh, I really
We saw him
I
make
really
some great
him.
Plays for Louisville.
I'll continue watching his career with much interest.
See, he was going to be the first... If he'd made the team this year, I was planning on investing in an actual, you know, jersey with his name and number on it.
That's right. I remember.
I liked him.
But then he went and got injured and had surgery. And, yeah. And so then they send him off to
Oakland.
Which, you know, any time that you've got Oakland harassing you for a certain player.
Right.
Obviously, the best thing to do is to just give in on that one.
Yeah.
Go, well, yeah, you're going to give me two players and money?
Well,
hell.
I think it was...
I could go out to dinner without money.
The news stories about it said that Oakland and Krisky had been working on it in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And then Denorfia got injured. But then just this week, the A's called back and were still interested.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, hard. Which, which is interesting.
There are entire organizations that refuse to deal with Billy Beane. There are, because he just gets the best of people in deals. And this seems like, man,
what is worth a player who can't play this year? How are two players worth that?
It's a fishy. It's fishy, is what it is.
And cash? I mean,
yeah.
I don't get it.
And that's the thing, that I'm not seeing the benefit of this. Fine, maybe we didn't need Denorfia, but we also don't. I really don't think that we need two players that are only worth half of Denorfia and less
half
than
of
that.
An injured Denorfia.
Half of an injured Denorfia and cash. Damn it, do something about the bullpen. Do something about the offense. Do something about the manager. Do something about the manager,
please.
It's time to go into the manager. You know what? I am hardly the person who starts off on rants about firing managers. That's not me. That's never been me.
I don't know.
I give people a chance way beyond the time that they deserve a chance. Yeah, I think we're way beyond that point.
It's getting frustrating to watch the team. One thing that I think is telling is that for this entire time here, Naren has always talked about playing the game right, doing the things, playing hard, doing the little things. I don't think he knows what that means.
Well, certainly his players don't.
Well, how could they know if he doesn't know? Like, they spend a lot of... They reportedly spend a lot of time on defense and drills and stuff in spring training. It hasn't worked. It's actually
sucks, yeah.
hurt the team. I mean, Alex Gonzalez, this guy who made 7 year errors all of last year at short, has come here. And I don't know how many he has,
but... I think he's got three.
Three or four.
I think he's got three. And I think
there are some that weren't called
those
errors
are the ones
on
that
him.
Weren't called, and those were just the ones that were scored errors. He's
right.
Definitely
he's
flubbed
other,
up more than that. And
he's flubbing all over the place.
And I was initially thinking that, you know, he may just be getting more errors because he gets to more balls. But as you said, you pointed out, seven all of last year.
Right.
So what the hell? Not only that, but he had this reputation of being a no bat, good defense shortstop, and that was fine with me. I was all for that. And then he comes in here and he's hitting. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm all for him hitting. But whatever their stated mantra is, whatever they're saying, like play the game right. We're not all about home runs. We're gonna have good defense and good pitching. It's just not true. There's something some disconnect that's going on between this organization and its leadership, and they have got to get it the freak together. Hello.
Yeah. So
I need
to
start drinking early today.
Yeah. Well, by the time the podcast is up, it'll probably be afternoon. So.
The game's at 2. I'm certainly going to need to start drinking then.
Free wine tasting today.
That's right.
We're there.
There's I don't know if anyone is within driving distance of Muncie, Indiana, but if you are, head out to the Friendly Package Wine Store on the Friendly Package Liquor Store, but it's a wine store on State Road 32, just outside of Muncie in Yorktown.
Yeah, it's in Yorktown.
And it's... every weekend, every Saturday from 12 until 4, they have a free wine tasting. Four times a year, they have this big, enormous wine tasting where the store is just filled with wine distributors, and it's all free. And it is just the best time you've ever had. You get completely schnockered on wine, and you get to try all these different kinds and actually...
Some of them expensive.
Some of them quite expensive. Before you have to, you know, before you buy them and take them home, you could never afford... couldn't afford to try this many wines at my house. Plus, I wouldn't even know what to try.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, you know, and you've got, like, all
these
people.
I always find it interesting that, like, you've got this, you're trying this $60 bottle of Cabernet, and it doesn't necessarily taste any better than the $15, $20 bottle.
Oh, no, definitely not.
I'm very surprised at that.
At the last big wine tasting we went to, I tried it was like a $60 champagne.
Okay.
Except it wasn't a champagne, it was just something sparkling. I don't know, it was called Pink Pop. It was not very good at all. In fact, it was incredibly bubbly. The pop part was appropriate, but it really didn't taste very delicious. And I thought, I'm glad I didn't buy that.
Yeah,
I've learned something without having to buy it. But then, you know, we end up buying an expensive bottle of wine most of the times we go because want to support their free wine tasting. Okay, but we have gotten way off topic, and
I'm trying to calm you down.
I know.
Well,
more relaxed, just talking.
I'm definitely getting on board with the idea of changing managers. Before Naren, they had worse managers. They haven't had a good manager since Jack McKeon in 2000,
yeah.
Which is coincidentally the last time they had a winning record. And then they fired him for insane reasons because the club was run by insane people back then.
Well, consider this.
But they've been getting better.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, is that Naren came aboard, and in the time he had, which was like the half season or whatever before they signed him.
And then all of last year.
And then, no, but I mean before they signed him.
Okay, gotcha.
He had like a 500 record.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, that's good. And they extend his contract. And he gets a little bit into the next season, and they extend his contract for like another year, or like beyond that or something. Or was it two? I haven't looked it up.
Doesn't matter.
In any event, it was still like just a 500 record, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But it's not really good. I mean, it's not really... And that's the thing I've always thought about Naren, is that he is fine. And he's a great guy to have around, and it's just fine to have him like as the placeholder. But doesn't this team want someone good?
Yeah. It's like... That was what Castellini was talking about, you know, when they hired the new broadcasting people.
Well,
go there.
Yeah, well,
but and he's always talking about excellence, you know, like what? But they're settling for averageness in their manager.
Totally.
And he's much better than Miley was, who was much better than Boone was.
I don't know that he was much better than Boone was.
He was for a short time.
I mean, total. He was better than Boone at some things, yeah. And then he was worse at others.
But like, why stop there? There are managers out there who are better than Naren.
Well, that's the question. Are there? Who's out there that's better than Naren? Do you have any ideas?
Okay, so no.
Well, I don't have any ideas because I'm not that familiar with really.
Well, it seems there have to be because there are teams that win. And then there are the Reds.
The question is, though, are there teams that win? Because this is sort of, we've gotten touched on this before, is that you look at the Reds and, man, it feels like they suck.
Mm-hmm.
But for crying out loud, they hung in with the Cardinals until September last year, and then the Cardinals win the whole friggin' thing.
That's true.
And you look at the Cardinals last year, and the Cardinals kind of sucked. And you think, if a team like that can win the whole friggin' thing, maybe that they are the definition of what's a good baseball team. And that's kind of sad. And maybe there aren't any better managers out there, but gosh, I'd like to see it. Now, you see, when Castellini first took over, he was talking about bringing in Pinella. And I'm like... I never thought that was a good idea. And, you know, we see the Cubs now, and they're hardly doing that awesome. But
there's
good, and then there's used to be good.
They're unlucky, actually. They're...
Oh, the Cubs are unlucky.
Yeah, I know. It's a shocker. But, like, there's a stat head formula called this Pythagorean formula where you can devise what a team's record is expected to be based on the number of runs scored that they've scored and runs they've allowed. And the Cubs have, like, outscored their opponents yet still have a terrible record.
Yeah. Well, the Reds did that. I mean, we saw
they did that most of last year.
Well, what was it, 2 years ago when they had the most runs scored in the entire majors, and were like...
But then they had a lot of runs allowed, too. The Cubs pitching
has
actually been doing decent. They're just incredibly unlucky at the moment.
So we'll see if that continues. Well, in any event, my point being that I really would like to see the Reds do better with their manager. I'd like to see them try. You know, go and explore someone who...
has talent at dealing with a bullpen?
Someone who either... go after someone who is better than just okay. You know, better than just good enough. This team's all about a tradition of excellence. It's not about a tradition of adequacy.
That's what they're working, heading towards, it feels like, though.
Anyway.
So, yeah, fire Naren.
Fire Naren. Fire Naren and bring in someone better. That's the other part. It's not worth firing Naren just to bring in
Naren. Naren. They'll put Dent as the manager.
Oh!
You don't know.
All right, what else have we got? So,
in the last week, the Reds played the Cardinals, right?
That's right.
Who'd they play before the Cardinals?
The Phillies.
The Phillies! Yeah, we were at that one of those games.
It's been kind of painful.
Against the Phillies, they had, what, two nights in a row where they should have won the game?
I think the
bullpen completely imploded?
Yeah, the bullpen's been bad.
Then they rebound, first game of the Cardinals, they win.
Yeah. Well, they were going against Kiesler. But, yeah.
That wasn't the one they won.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
They lost the one against Kiesler?
Yes. Because Arroyo was pitching. That was the third game of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's like, okay, Arroyo versus Kiesler. Now that sounds like a decent matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I mean, the Reds teed off against Kiesler. I might have some of this messed up. But they teed off against Kiesler and then the bullpen blew it up.
Well, that's sounds about right. That sounds about typical.
It's like in the eighth inning this year, the Reds have allowed like some ungodly number of runs, 20-some runs in the eighth alone.
No, did you see that? Somebody, I think it was, what's his name, Rosecrans said, had put something in an article about how in the Cardinals series, every inning that was started by a Reds reliever resulted in a Cardinals run.
Oh, gosh. It was bad.
Like, oh, yeah. And then, but then on the other side, we have the same old problem that we've always had. Super powerful offense can't seem to get anything together.
Yeah.
This is an offense that...
filled with power, but lacks contact ability.
Filled with power, and it's not just that they lack contact ability, it's that they lack contact ability at the right time.
Yeah. Well, Dunn hit a solo shot in the first game against the Pirates.
That's right.
That was their only
run. I know, it was Rally Killer. That's what that was.
Actually, it wasn't. They ended up getting two on after that.
No, I was being ironic. But I think that, but that's what happens, is that they end up getting people on, and then
nobody
fizzle,
comes through.
And nobody comes through, and then anything.
I think
this
part,
is
of that, part of that is might be due to lineup construction.
Well, it most definitely
is. I mean, Hamilton has been leading off. He's one of the guys who's actually been driving in runs. How is he going to drive in runs when the pitcher and the catcher are batting in front of him?
It's an excellent point. Because he then gets himself on, and then there's already two outs.
Right.
You know?
Or so, yeah, but...
And then, of course, the catcher is Ross, because even when they go up against right-handers, Aaron will not start.
They finally started Javi last night. He had two hits.
Of course he did, because, you know, he's a good little hitter.
I know, I don't understand it.
He's a good
Though
little hitter.
Ross might... The only thing you can hope is that Ross actually breaks out of his slump through playing, because he's obviously not going to be sitting.
Yeah.
He did have a home run against the Cardinals.
That's fine.
So
that's
hopefully. I want him to
do
well.
I want him to do well, too. And the thing is that he has, like, one game with two hits, and he has one game with a home run, he has one game with one hit, something like that. That doesn't make him out of his slump. You know, he was so freaking abysmal for a while there that you think, like, this is absolute zero. And anything over absolute zero seems like good, but it's not good. He's still not doing well. And, you know, they kept him based on, like, this hitting performance of last year. At least I presume that. I don't know. Maybe they had other reasons. And it was the stupidest move ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to have to get blood pressure medicine following this.
Or change teams.
It's time. Let's change teams.
Okay, let's see.
Who's good?
Who's good?
Let's check out the
The standings in the Central. Well, in first place, we've got Milwaukee. How about the Brewers?
Hell no. We say I don't want to go to games alone. No, the thing about the Brewers is that so many people like to pick them. People love to pick them as their sleeper team, and I think that it's just because they're such a quiet team.
With no fans,
and everyone thinks, like, man, I could put my money down on that 100-1 bet, and if it comes through, I'm going to look like a freaking genius. If it doesn't come through, well, no one's going to notice because they're so quiet.
Except they keep doing that 3 years running. I mean,
yeah,
how many times have they been the sleeper and then...
Yeah, exactly, and I don't, you know, we've seen Milwaukee play a little bit this year.
They're very bad.
I think that they're horrible. I think
that
they're the Reds of a couple years ago.
Is injured already. He's like the new Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood character
that
in the Central.
That sucks, man. That sucks. What's wrong with our pitching coaches these days, or with our management, or whatever is going on with these pitchers that's causing this to happen?
I don't know. It did come when he was pitching against the Cubs, so.
Maybe it rubbed off. All right, well, who's next?
Pittsburgh, they're on the way up, right? They never
fail
or fade away after doing well in April.
Oh, man. Well, they sure as hell didn't last year. Remember last year's April?
Last year, they were the best team in the Central after the All-Star break.
That's right.
So, you know, this might not be a fluke.
Maybe they're... maybe.
Sorry.
The thing about Pittsburgh is, and we've seen them play, too, and, you know, they we're going to see them play again today if we get back from the wine tasting in time, is that they... I completely lost my train of thought. Ideas?
What's wrong with Pittsburgh?
They can't win.
No, they can't. They've got some good young pitching, like we saw Snell in the first game.
That's right. He was fine.
He's definitely had his moments, and he's probably going to get better as he gets more experience. But they're young. They're inconsistent.
Oh, and
they're poorly coached. They have no real
dysfunctional organization that they work for in the history of the world.
Yeah, it's sad because I'm afraid that they're going to do okay for a good portion of the year this year, which will just be a real disservice to the fans in baseball because it won't get the owners out. That team needs to completely clean out the front office.
There you go. Who's next?
In third place, St. Louis.
Oh my, I'm disgusted that St. Louis is ahead of the Reds. We saw them play. They're abysmal. They're
the only reason they beat the Reds was because the Reds have no bullpen. It's the only reason. They are terrible. Carpenter's out, though he'll be back before the year's over. I don't think it's anything terribly serious. Mm-hmm. They had Kiesler, former Red.
Well, that's pretty
left-hander,
sad.
Randy Kiesler starting for him.
Kiesler coming in to try to take the place of Carpenter.
It was good. It was good to see the Reds tee off against a lefty, though. That's the first time all year.
Well, they ought to know his stuff pretty well.
He's a serviceable starter like that. He's not someone you'd want in your rotation year-round, though.
You got to love his picture, too. I don't know if you happened on, the page where they show the starting pitchers and they've got their faces up there. He is a goofy-looking fellow,
man. He is silly-looking.
He looks like a Muppet.
Do you remember one time
when we
saw a Bats game and he was sitting at the bullpen there? It was at Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You got to see the nice big old scar on his left.
The big old star, yep.
Oh. Perils of being an athlete, man. Wow.
No joke.
So you don't think you could root for St. Louis? I mean, they did just win the World Series, so they've got a history of winning, history.
I think that I probably could root for St. Louis, but I don't think I want to start this year.
Okay. Maybe next year.
maybe if I, if the new team I adopt is just as bad as the Reds.
Well, after St. Louis is Cincinnati. They're in fourth place now.
Okay. Well, we're already there.
In fifth, actually tied for fifth, Chicago and Houston. Bringing up the rear. Houston just swept by the Pirates.
Awesome.
Houston is terrible.
I tell you what, this whole alternate reality we've slipped into this season so far, I know it's early, but for crying out loud. Now, of course, the part with Chicago bringing up the rear is not so surprising. Surprising to Cubs fans, though, I imagine, because they really thought that they were going to do well this year.
Yeah.
I think they're still on pace for those 100 wins.
I don't know. Well, Joe, on his podcast, still seems quite optimistic. He's really parroting that. Well, they've outscored. They've been really unlucky. They should have won more.
Which should have wins don't count. Actually, I think that it's funny that when you talk to the stat head community and they try to take luck out of the equation, not seeming to understand that luck is a part of the equation.
Yeah, usually the luckiest team wins.
Like that. I mean, if anything, you should be trying to measure the luck. Maybe you ought to be measuring the luck of each individual pitcher. I mean, for example, that would put Arroyo right at the friggin' bottom of the rotation. Unluckiest freaking pitcher
in
the whole season.
Milton's pitched okay, too. And he's 0-for as well.
Oh. Yeah, but Milton's already at the bottom of the rotation.
That's true.
Yeah. True, but sad.
What about Houston?
Seem like a nothing.
Okay.
I have no feeling about them when I say that. Well, what about the rest of the world?
Actually, there is some more Cardinals news.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you talk about that.
Tony La Russa had a rant.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta like that.
He went off against one of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporters.
Uh-huh.
About a story the newspaper ran that was making fun of the Cubs' losing history.
Okay.
Yeah.
A story in the newspaper was making fun?
Of the Cubs.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually a poem.
Oh my gosh. And they call that news? Was it on, at least on, the editorials page or anything?
I think it was on the sports front page.
Oh my gosh. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, newspapers are dying.
Desperate.
But it was...
Maybe they should start a blog.
It was called Cubs, No Tinker, No Evers, No Chance. Tinker and Evers were two players who led the Cubs to back-to-back championships back in 1907 and 1908.
Okay.
It's real short. Since Tinker endeavors in chance, a goat and his curse, a scapegoat and his heir, Black Cat greets Santo, raising defeatist fans' hair, Ernie Banks, one of the greats who never got there, no Tinker, no Evers, no chance. Sweet Lou brings his brash to friendly confines, he once won as much as Frank Chance. Cubs' renewed hopes flourish when Soriano signs, they tinker forever for a chance. When other clubs reversed curses, Cubs knew they should, but roster was flimsy, built on prior and wood. Up comes the hymn, wait till next year, then we'll be good. No Tinker, no Evers, no chance.
Okay.
And La Russa's all pissed off about it.
Because it appeared in a
St. Louis paper.
St. Louis paper.
It says, I have a right to state an opinion, and when there's a cheap shot against the Cubs, I don't want to be a part of it. I want everybody to know that the St. Louis Cardinals and their manager have an absolute disregard for that, and then he's not going to... The Cardinals are playing the Cubs right now, mm-hmm. and La Russa is refusing to talk to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch during the three-game series.
Interesting. Well, I'll say that he's right. I mean, that doesn't sound like too much of an unreasonable rant to me. And I'll also say that... But I also think that refusing to talk to a newspaper is a little bit childish.
It's superstar.
You know, I mean, like, he doesn't get to tell the newspaper what to do.
No.
Yeah. And he's perfectly entitled to state his opinion on the matter, but, like, to say, oh, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah.
It seems like it's not being very constructive. But, you know, that's not his job either.
No.
I suppose he can do what he wants.
Behind those sunglasses.
Oh, just for that, I'm going to refuse to talk to Tony La Russa anytime that he's playing the Cubs.
Elsewhere in baseball, you know, let's talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox, because that's all there is in
oh,
baseball.
Oh, boy! Right? That should get us lots of hits.
The Yankees are having terrible starting pitching issues. They're in last place.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sort of like Houston.
Yeah, except... Yeah, kind of like Houston.
Maybe they're all waiting for... what's his name?
Yeah, they both are. Like, yes, Clemens, come back to us. With you, we'll win. No, really.
You personally are enough to take us from last.
The Yankees have a top pitching prospect who's always coupled with Homer Bailey in the listing.
Sounds familiar.
Phil Hughes. They panicked and brought him up early.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
You curious to hear how well he did in his first start?
Well, I can imagine how well he did, but yeah.
4 1/3 inning, 4 runs. They lost.
That's about what I would expect. I mean,
pretty much from a young guy.
Young,
definitely.
Yeah, his first time.
So my idea, and there have been a few articles in Reds papers about the bullpen and what to do, bring up someone from the minors. Like, the white elephant is Bailey. No one's ever mentioned him as...
The white elephant?
In the room that they're not mentioning.
Oh, that's just
the elephant. Yes. White elephant's something entirely different. The elephant in the room. Scratch that. Last part. I'm not a moron.
You're just mixing metaphors, that's all. He could be something.
He
could be
a battleship.
That's right. He could be a white elephant. You could make that. Maybe it was a Freudian slip.
Uh-oh. I hope not.
So
I think they should bring him up and plop him in the bullpen.
I don't know, man.
Get him some major league experience without starting.
That's just going to make a bunch of suck rub off on him.
You know, you might be right. I hadn't thought of that. There's a lot of suck there to be had.
Of course, there's a lot of suck in Louisville, too, so...
They're doing all right.
There's a lot of suck in the bullpen, though.
Is there?
Well, I don't know. I just know Majeski's.
Oh, Majeski'd had a terrible outing recently, yeah.
Yeah. What else?
A Baltimore Orioles broadcaster said this last week, that Red Sox catcher Doug Mirabelli told him that the bloody sock of Curt Schilling from that World Series said that it was paint, not blood, and that it was done for a publicity stunt.
Okay, who said this?
A Baltimore Orioles broadcaster, Gary Thorne.
Okay, and then did he have any evidence of this?
No, he just said that he overheard the Red Sox catcher saying that.
Oh. Okay, well, I mean, that'd be pretty easy to find out.
Yeah, one would think. But it's, like, blown up, and everyone's, is it real or isn't it? And Schilling, like, blasted the media on his blog.
Oh, and that's right, Schilling has a blog.
Yeah. He's like, and one of the things he said in there is, this is one reason why I started this, because I knew this was going to happen.
They're going to call his blood.
No, that the media was stupid and often filled with incompetent. Which, the guy who did this is just from what I understand, is just a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's hardly the media.
Yeah. Okay. But Curt Schilling, in response, in his post blasting the guy, offered $1 million to anyone who could prove it wasn't blood.
Wow.
On the sock.
Wait. I think that I could probably work that out. Let me taste it.
Yeah.
I'll take that $1 million. Thank you.
And it would go to charity.
I see. So. Is there anything else?
No, that's all.
Well, I think that we have proven that the rest of the freaking major leagues are just as dysfunctional as the Reds.
That's right.
I probably don't have any hope of being any happier
there
anywhere else.
There is no such thing as a functional team in baseball.
So,
because... It's, you know, exempt from monopoly status.
That's
right. Has no competition.
That's true. So I think that the only thing to do is start drinking early. I'll go get started on that right now.
Okay.
Except I won't. I'll go take a shower or something. Yeah. I don't know.
You don't want to drink dirty.
Don't want to drink dirty. Well, it's almost 11 a.m., so it's almost not unreasonably early to have a little something. But I don't want our listeners to think I'm really that much of a lush. I don't actually start drinking before noon on Saturdays.
No,
usually.
We don't. It's just jokes.
Just kidding.
It's just before one.
It's just before one that we start. Which is, yeah. Anyway, so is that enough? Have you had enough of this?
I have. Do you think the Reds will win a game against Pittsburgh?
It's really hard to say, man, because they looked awful yesterday. They were so bad yesterday that I don't even think anyone was watching.
I kind of tuned it out, and I was surprised when the last out was. I'm like, oh
yeah,
I didn't realize it's the ninth.
Oh,
I'm glad that's over.
This agonizing pain has been going on forever. That's kind of a relief.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so but we're hopeful for this game, and we will keep on hanging in there. We hope that you do too. And until then, go Reds.
Burner. Show your love for the show by leaving a comment at iTunes or voting for us at Podcast Alley. Or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional Reds in the Red Hot Diaries at our website at red-hot-mama.com. And you can always drop us a line at rhm@red-hot-mama.com.